Good morning to everyone. As you recall, we started this particular series this year talking about practical halacha, but more of an emphasis on, as I called it, murmurings of a minyaner mourner. Namely, the minhag is that a mourner like myself doesn't daven on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And on the other hand, catch 22, because there's a kaddish at the beginning of davening and at the end of davening, he can't exactly come late or leave early. So he has to sit in davening the entire time, not do much, and therefore I have a lot of observations due to the fact that I've used my two ears and my two eyes much more than... Anyone want to finish the sentence?
Lips.
My mouth. And I'm going to share it with you. Sometimes it's going to be fascinating. Sometimes I'm going to let off steam and you're going to be my victims. Whoever's not prepared for it, my apologies. I'd be happy to give you a prescription of volume and whatnot to get through it. But that's what's going to happen this year. So I want to begin today, practical halacha, murmurings of a minyaner mourner with Rosh Chodesh. Baruch Hashem, we got to Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. It was a beautiful month of Yomim Tovim. The weather was nice sometimes, not so nice other times. Let's talk about a few things that have to do with Rosh Chodesh. And I'm going to talk very much off the bat here, and I hope that it will be clear. Number one, in Rosh Chodesh, what do we add to the Amida? Yaleh v'yavo. Why come we don't add it on Shabbos? We add it on Rosh Chodesh. We add it on Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. We don't add it on Shabbos. So Rosh Chodesh is together with all the Yomim Tovim. Shabbos, no. Anyone ever think about that? The answer is that Yaleh v'yavo is a fulfillment of having God remember us on certain days of the year. What do we say in Yaleh v'yavo? After we say Yaleh v'yavo, we say what term again and again? Zachreinu. Zachreinu Hashem Elokeinu bo letova. Correct? In the Torah, where does it say that God has to remember us? There's a pasuk in Parshat Baha'alotcha talking about the fact that on certain days of the year you blow the chatzotzrot, and at the end of that parshia, that particular paragraph, it says uviyom simchatchem uvemoadechem uverashei chodcheichem. Translate. On your days of happiness, on your yomim tovim moadim and rashei chodcheichem. What's missing?
Shabbat.
So on days that are moadim, the Yomim Tovim, on Rosh Chodesh, and on days of Simcha, which we don't exactly know what that means, we have to come before God and ask God to remember us. And how do we do that today? With Yaleh v'yavo. Vezichron Mashiach ben David Avdecha, Vezichron Yerushalayim Mir Kodshecha, Vezichron, etc., etc., etc. And we ultimately fulfill that pasuk. We have to do it on Rosh Chodeshechem, we have to do it on Yom Simchatchem, and we have to do it on Moadechem. Shabbos is not a day of Simcha, it's a day of Oneg, a day that's very important, and therefore, we don't say Yaleh v'yavo on Shabbos. There's a question here.
Yom Simchatchem could be Shabbat.
Do you have a source that Shabbos were Chayiv and Simcha?
Oneg Shabbos.
Oneg Shabbos, exactly.
Oneg Shabbos is enjoying Shabbos, it doesn't mean Simcha. If someone's sitting Shiva, is he b'Simcha?
No.
Can he enjoy a good cup of coffee?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So these are two different terms in halacha. Simcha means happiness. Oneg means something else. So that's why we only say Yaleh v'yavo on Rosh Chodeshechem and on the Yomim Tovim. We don't say it on other days of the year.
Right.
Issue number two. Because we changed the davening, there is a minhag out there that says, well, if we change the davening, we got to let people know. It shouldn't be a deep, dark secret. We have to tell people. Now, it's even more so on Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh is a regular day of the week, meaning people don't come to shul dressed very nicely. They don't come with a lulav and etrog. They're not weary-eyed because they stayed up on Shavuos night. They're not, unfortunately, suffering either from constipation or from a hangover of the Seder, or both. They just come. It's a regular day. The only difference is davening is longer. So they're in a bad mood, and davening is longer, and there's no difference. They have to go to work afterwards, or they have to go home and fight with their wives. So, therefore, if they're going to do the regular things, it's important to tell them, well, you have to add Yaleh v'yavo in davening. Is it okay to say so?
No.
You know, right before the Amida, Yaleh v'yavo!
People knock.
Knocking. No. What do you say, gentlemen? Is it okay? Or is it a terrible minhag? We have to tell every shul in the world stop.
Hefsek.
It's an actual hefsek in davening. Okay. Well, you'll be surprised. On this issue, it's very, very interesting. But the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Simon Reish Lamid Vav Seif Bet, that Rosh Chodesh is important. He says that davening is important. In the morning, we have a mitzvah that we have to lismoch geula litfila. What does that mean? You have to say Ga'al Yisrael and connect it to the beginning of the Amida Hashem Sfatai Tiftach. So, if you would have told me overnight, well, you're going to say Yale Ve'yavo right before, right after, you're not Somech Geula Litfila. Arthur said it's a hefsek. Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Shimon Reish Lamed Vav, and I quote, Ein l'saper ben gula da arvit litfila, v'afan o'agim lomar shmonasre psukim v'yiru einenu, ein lafsik ben yiru einenu litfila. So at night, at my riv, we paskin that smichat ge'ula latfila is a good idea, but it's not an obligation. Therefore, the ramification is that at Shachris, if you come to davening late, you have to say Birkos Kriyat Shema, with Kriyat Shema, say Ga'al Yisrael and go into the Amida. And even if the tzibur is far ahead of you, you can't skip that. That's the way the morning format goes. What about Myriv? Myriv? You come in, they're already at Hashkivenu, you daven the Amida with them, and afterwards you make up Birkos Kriyat Shema, and of course the Kriyat Shema, because at night it's a good idea, it's not an obligation. So Harold already has a question, I just want to finish this point. Mil, says the Shulchan Aruch, even though it's very important, even at night, to somech geula letfila, mashi machris shliach tzibur rosh chodesh ben kaddish letfila letfilat arvit lo have hefsek. Arthur, it's not a hefsek. Why? We learned this before Rosh Hashanah. How come you're allowed to say piyutim and davin and then blow shofar? Kivan shehut sarech hatfila.
Okay.
So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's okay. Having said that, there are descending points of view that say it is a hefsek. And therefore, indeed, if you look there in the various interpretations on the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that many people do say it's a bit of a problem. However, the basic line of the Shulchan Aruch is, if it's davening oriented, it's not a hefsek. So you can announce the page, you can announce Yale V'yavo, and it's not a hefsek. Certain people are machmir, and therefore, say your name for the tape so people know who said it.
Yitzchak.
We're talking about Geula. We want to bring Geula La'olam by saying in the name of Yitzchak. Yitzchak said, we don't want to talk, so we bang. Is banging better than talking? Or is that also a hefsek? Think about that. I'm not so sure it makes a difference. You can use your mouth, you can use your hands. Hilchos Shabbos. If there's, for example, you have, what's the name of that thing where you talk and it does everything for you? Alexa. So you say, Alexa, put on the lights. So certain people will say, well, that's okay. You're not using your hands to put on the lights. Who decided you have to use your hands? If you use your mouth, it's a direct thing. It's also Asur on Shabbos. No one says you have to use your hands. There's no halacha in the Torah. Malachot are Asur on Shabbos only if you use your hands. Use your feet, it's okay. Obviously, the shinui means when you do it in an abnormal way. What's the normal way of use this? What's her name again?
Alexa.
What's the normative way of using it?
Voice.
Talking. So let's talk about this. You know how to make a hefsek in davening. So what's the difference if you use your mouth or you go, the same idea. Maybe you could say, no, using your mouth, it's a hefsek, banging is okay. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, if, as long as it's Sarech HaTfila, it's okay. If you talk about the news, the weather, the prime minister, the elections, that's a problem. But if you talk about davening, El Aviyavo, it's okay. So just to finish the point, I think Harold's and Svi's question, Svi and Svi over here, you should know that there is a point of view brought in the Mate Moshe, in the name of the Maharshal, that says it's a bad idea to say anything because it is a hefsek. The Maharil says to say it, then he says some people say not. If you want my point of view on this, I would say that I don't like the idea. Because, quite frankly, even though it's mutter, I think that the minute you start talking and davening about davening, people will start talking about things that are not davening-oriented. And we'll get to that a bit later. And therefore, if you ask me with my particular, I would say, eitzah on this issue, because, again, I don't think it's usher, it would be as follows. When you finish Ga'al Yisrael in the morning, instead of just saying, Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, say it in the nigun of Rosh Chodesh. Yisrael. Okay, then maybe people will get the hint, and you're not doing any hefsek. That's if you want to be machmir, and you don't want people to talk in davening. I think that's a very good idea. And I also have to admit, Yitzchak, it's better than banging on the table, because certain people don't understand why you're banging. Certain people say, why is he banging on the table? What is it, Purim? On Purim, I understand they bang on the table. If a guy comes to shul, he's not there every day, and they're banging on the table, he doesn't understand why. He'll go home and say, you know, something very funny happened today in davening. They were all quiet, and all of a sudden someone banged on the table. He must not like the chazan. So banging on the table, I'm not so sure will do the trick. Let's hear Harold, Tzvi, and Tzvi.
You already said what I wanted to say, but okay. The other eight such as I have is either the rabbi or the rabbi, so you all have to overlap loud. So people will know that they shouldn't serve.
So you should know that on that issue there's a difference of opinion. It seems very clear from a Biru Halacha that with regard to Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem, it seems like an idea that we can, you know, contemplate. Other people say, no, davening has to be silent, and if you go ahead and say it out loud, it's not a silent Amida anymore. Chana taught us to daven in silence. It's not a good idea. So even on that, there's a difference of opinion. Again, you don't have to be machmir on this issue. I just think that for the decorum of davening, it might be better not to induce talking unless very much needed.
In reference to Guru of Tefillah and Maror and Chutzaritz, they say Baruch Hashem Rambam.
I just read that here. That Viyuru in English, Malasri Psukim, if you say that, then that's all. Meaning, we're already trying to explain why Hashkivenu is not a hefsek. If you say Viyuru in Einu, okay, but don't add to it. Don't add to it. Anyway, Shachris would be more machmir than Myriv, obviously, because Gula Tfila is an obligation at Shachris, an option at Myriv, and therefore I think that you can be more makel at Myriv, and of course for Mincha, where there's no Gula Tfila. Tzvi.
Your suggestion for the morning, Gal Yisrael, doesn't that get you into the problem of whether Gal Yisrael should be said out loud or not, and saying Amen to Gal Yisrael as a hefsek from Gula?
It is a problem. We're going to get to that now in the next issue. And you know what? Let's introduce the next issue. In general, you should know that on Gaal Yisrael, it seems very clear that the Chazan has to say it like he says everything else in the Birkos Kriyat Shema. However, because it might be a hefsek of Amen, people should, of course, say it with him. And then there's no problem. We're going to get to that now with the next issue, and you'll hear the various opinions on it. But if he says Gaal Yisrael, people will sing along with him. I don't think it's a big deal. It's like 5 seconds, more than 3 seconds. Yeah.
Training rabbis to go to Chutz La'aretz, to places where Balabatim don't know how to daven so well, maybe they should announce, congregation kindly rise and turn to page 27 for the silent devotion.
It's done.
I mean, what would you say to that?
Well, first of all, I heard people train rabbis and send them to Chutz La'aretz. I know such people from time to time. Second of all, I do train them to say that, absolutely. Pshat Shulchan Aruch, it's okay, obviously. But if you're a more learned crowd and you want to have more decorum in davening, then I suggest maybe not making announcements, because people won't make the difference between announcements as Yale V'Yevo and talking about the weather. And we're going to get to that later today. But you know what? We'll get to it now. Yeah. Yeah, we said that, but again, many people won't know why you're banging. Certain people bang because they get up from their seat and their knee hit the table. You don't know.
That's why people are mocked with a double bang.
Oh, a double bang, see? Then you don't know one's going to knock his knee twice. Yeah, but again, when you hear banging, you're over here, you're over there, you're not necessarily seeing the gabbai who's banging over there. So you don't know, is this the bang for the Rosh Chodesh, or is this just a bang? Is this a bang for quiet, or is this a bang for Yale V'Yavo? The bang is a nice idea, but you can interpret it in 5 different ways. It's banging because of Yale V'Yavo, it's banging because someone's mad at the Chazan, it's banging because the guy hit his knee into the table, and then he bangs on the table to hit it back. The table did something wrong. And again, you don't know how to interpret the bang. However, if you say Gal Yisrael and that nigun, I think it's a good idea. Let's get to the next issue. We talked about the fact that we add Yale V'Yavo only on Rosh Chodesh and Yomim Tovim because of the Pasuk, not Shabbos. We talked about the announcement of Yale V'Yavo. Let's talk about Halal. Halal, as you know, on Rosh Chodesh is not a halacha, it's a minhag. The Gemara talks about a story about an Amora that got to Bavel, and he saw they're doing everything backwards. Or he got to Eretz Yisrael, I forgot which one it was. And he saw they're doing everything wrong, they're not learning. So he gets to Rosh Chodesh, and he sees her saying Halal. He says, wow, these people get everything wrong. You don't say Halal on Rosh Chodesh, you say it on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur contemplated, but the Gemara paskins not, because Sifrei Chaim v'Sifrei Metim munochim lefanav atem amurim shira. Why are they saying Halal on Rosh Chodesh? He's about to tell the Chazan, you make a mistake again. Then he noticed, wow, they're skipping Halal. oh, maybe there's a minhag to say halal, albeit you skip it, and this way you make it clear it's a minhag. Now, because of that Gemara, I just want to bring up one issue today, and that is the issue of the bracha. When should you say the bracha of halal? So here, I have to admit, I don't understand the minhag of Am Yisrael. The Chazan says the bracha, everyone listens, says amen, and then says the bracha on their own. Is there any problem with that?
Yeah, because probably Yotze already wants to
say. Harold says, you're probably Yotze. You said, not only did you listened attentively, you said amen. This is not a long piyut, this is a little bracha. So if you listen and you say amen, you're probably Yotze. So what allows you to say God's name in vain a second later, say amen, Baruch Atah Hashem, etc.? So therefore, my suggestion would be not to do that. Rather, go ahead and say the bracha together with the chazan. And there should be no amen. However, if you want a yotze with the chazan, you can say amen and not say the bracha. So either say it with the chazan because you want to do it yourself. The Yerushalmi does say there's three things where we don't like shomeyach ke'one. What's shomeyach ke'one? When you hear it, it's like you say it. So, you don't know how to read the Megillah. Everyone's in shul. One person reads the Megillah. How are you Yotze Yedei Chobot reading the Megillah? Al Mikra Megillah. By listening and keeping your mouth shut. That's the way it's done. All over Halacha. However, the Yerushalmi says there's three exceptions to the rule. One is saying a bracha on a cookie or food. The other is Kriyat Shema, because if you want to accept upon yourself the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, then do it on your own. Don't tell someone else to do it for you. And the third is tefillah. If you have something to ask for, say it. So if you say that halal is tefillah and you want to say it on your own, then bakasha, say it together with the chazan. Suggestion number one. Suggestion number two, say amen and don't say it afterwards. Just go right into the halal. So why do we explain the minhag of Am Yisrael? As you know, around this table, I always say if all the Jewish people do it, it must be for a good reason. So what is the reason? Maybe, and again, I'm very reluctant to say this, people, when the chazan says it, are thinking, I'm not yotze with the chazan. The whole time they're thinking, I'm not yotze with the chazan.
Maybe the chazan.
Now, when I heard this about Kiddush on a Friday night, the Hasidim have a minhag, everyone says their own Kiddush. So they hear 25 Kiddushim, and I think it's one big bracha levatala, if I come to such a table, I say conservative Judaism, reformed Judaism over here, they hear a bracha, they all say it. Well, quite frankly, what is their terutz? Everyone that hears Kiddush is not Yotze. The whole time the God says, Ya Mashishi Vayechulu Mekadesh HaShabbos, and he sings, Kivanu Vacharta. I'm not Yotze. I'm not Yotze. I'm not Yotze. When you say that about Kiddush, you could have fooled me. What, the person sitting there the whole time saying, I'm not Yotze? But with regard to one little bracha of halal, I can understand. How long is the bracha of halal? 5 seconds? For 5 seconds, I can think I'm not Yotze. But for a whole longer Kiddush on a Friday night, how can you think you're not Yotze? Therefore, on a Friday night, I'm very much against everyone saying Kiddush, and I never insist on saying Kiddush on my own. But, and halal, I can understand, because it's 1 second, people want to say it on their own, and when the chazan say it, they're not Yotze. My particular custom is, and I do this on every bracha of halal, I say it word for word with the chazan.
Does the chazan have to have a mind to be able to say everybody else?
No. Not necessarily, if everyone's going to say the bracha on their own. If, however, people are going to adopt this minhag of the chazan saying it and you're saying amen, then yes, they have to all have in mind.
You have to have in mind, he has to have in mind to be motzi, and the mitpalim have to have in mind to be yotze.
Correct. That's probably the other reason why people say it on their own. Maybe the chazan doesn't have that in mind.
Not having kavana would be,
however,
either the chazan doesn't, or I'm not thinking
so
of
I'll explain.
I don't have
the same so Tzvi would be correct if indeed all mitzvot tzrichot kavana. But because we don't know, the basic psak halacha is in mitzvahs to oraisa, we say you need kavana, lahotzi vilatzeit. In mitzvahs the rabbana not. Halal and Rosh Chodesh is not the oraisa, the rabbana, it's a minhag. So therefore, I definitely don't think you need yetzei yedei chovah, but then it becomes, I would say, a kula that becomes a chumrah. If it's a halacha to say halal on Yom Tov, and someone says it, you could say, well, he didn't have in mind to motzi me, and it's a mitzvah to oraisa where he should, so therefore I have to say it on my own. So it's the chumrah that brings the kula. Here it's the kula that brings the chumrah, because it's only a minhag, and therefore you don't need kavana. Who allows you to say the bracha afterwards? Anyway, my personal minhag is very simple. I say it word for word together with the chazan, like I do Gaal Yisrael, for the same exact reason, and therefore I start halal. By the way, this would save exactly 5 seconds out of davening, and I know people love to save time in davening. Did you ever see the simcha of a Jew on a Monday and Thursday? It's even bigger than a wedding. Because a wedding's long, but on a Monday and a Thursday, they skip tachanun, 3 minute, 4 minute tachanun, the joy cannot be defined in words. There hasn't been a Shakespeare alive that was able to go ahead and formulate the words of a person that, quite frankly, is in shul. He's supposed to say a long tachanun. They tell him, you don't have to. It's only 4 minutes. But the simcha, wow. So take that simcha, reduce it a bit. You don't have to say the 5 seconds of the halal. Everyone says it with the chazan. Yeah.
Yeah. Concerning Kiddush, a lot of people have their children for chinuch say Kiddush.
Could be okay. However, I always say that chinuch has to be chinuch that is not only a good idea, but it also is a chinuch that trains you that when you're older, you're going to do it in the right way. So if you're mechanich to fast, that's a good idea because a person ultimately will fast when they get older. But if you're mechanich to do something against halacha, then when he becomes 13, oh, now you're 13, don't do it. That's not exactly a good chinuch. The Gemara says on a regular Yom Tov, you're supposed to say Shechianu.
Yeah.
Okay. So you could say Shechianu afilu bashuk when you're walking home from shul. How come we say Shechianu at Kiddush? The Gemara says because it gives chashivus to the Shechianu by saying it on a cup of wine. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, what about Yom Kippur? So the Gemara answers, but everyone here is going to answer, well, that's a catch-22. You can't eat, so you say it. Afilu bashuk, we say it after Kol Nidre. The Gemara says, maybe give it to a katan. Give it to a guy, a little kid, that's not fasting. It doesn't have to fast. The Gemara says, it's bad chinuch. Because when he gets older, he's going to think, oh, every night of Yom Kippur, I go to shul, we eat a big meal before, and then we finish the meal at shul. How do we finish the meal at shul? The Shechianu is said in shul, and I drink a cup of wine. Well, that's what we call an Isser Karet in Halacha. And therefore, the Gemara says, that's not exactly good chinuch. So if you paskin that Kiddush should be said on Friday night, and if one person says it, everyone's Yotze, and therefore no one should say their own Kiddush, it's not a good idea that, oh, when you're little, it's okay. Because it's bad chinuch for when they get older. Any other questions on this? Good, let's get on to the next issue. So we talked about Yalav Yavo only on Shabbos and Yontiv, announcing it in the Bracha of Halal. Now, let's get into the actual Halal. Are you allowed to say Halal when you're at home sick or when you don't go to Minyan on a Rosh Chodesh? So every other day of the year, absolutely. If you paskin on Yom HaSmut and Yom Yerushalayim, you say Halal. You're with the Zionists, then indeed you say it even at home. However, with regard to Rosh Chodesh, it's a bit different. Because the Gemara story I said earlier, it seems like it was only done in shul. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the Rama in this case, Siman Tav Kaf Bet, and I quote, V'yeshum Rim, digam yachid mevarech alav. So we're taught around this table. When the Rama says V'yeshum Rim, what does that mean? Some say that you should say it even at home, but... Now what's the next part of the sentence? The Rama said, say the Hallel ben Betzibur ben Biyachit. That's it, end of story. Good. But because the Rama says, V'yeshomrim, what does that mean? There's some others that don't say it. And he adds, V'cheinu hagim b'mitino te'elu. In the Ashkenazi communities, this is what we do. Now, here comes the clincher. But because of the descending point of view, says the Rama, U'mikol makom yisaher adam likrot betzibur, k'dei levarech alavim atzibur. But because it's a machlokas, if you should even say it on your own, you should say it together with the minyan at the time they're saying it. And then he brings other points of view about if you're at home, maybe you should skip halal even more than in shul. So just to finish this point, the Magen Avraham picks up on this, and the Magen Avraham says that if that's the halacha, therefore if you come to shul late on any day of the year, you try to catch up. But if you come on Rosh Chodesh, what should you do? If they're ready at halal, first say halal. Because it's a machlokas if you even say it without a minyan. Once you finish halal, you go back to davening. Davening should be said with a minyan, but if you don't have a minyan, you daven on your own. There's no machlokas there. So that's with regard to halal on Rosh Chodesh versus the rest of the days of the year that we say it. Number one, it's a minhag. Number two, we thought about the bracha. Number three, if you come late to shul, you should try as much as possible to stay it with the minyan, because maybe you don't say it when you're not with the minyan. Yes, Harold? What should who?
Women.
What about women?
Can they say halal?
Oh, women chayav on halal on Rosh Chodesh. It's a whole separate cheer. They chayav on halal on the Yomim Tovim and therefore on Rosh Chodesh. That's a whole separate cheer. We once gave the cheer here. If you'd like, I'll send you the Dafei Mekoros on it. But that's a long discussion. Any other questions on this? Okay. If no questions on this, let's talk about a few things that just happened over the Yomim Tovim. But before I get there, let's talk about the Chazan. When the Chazan davens, he has to remember that the Gemara says about Rabbi Akiva that when he davened alone, he davened so long And with such kavana, he started on one side of the room, he went to the other side of the room, it took forever. But when he davened b'tzibur, he was the fastest one there. If you're a chazan versus a personal guy sitting in their corner, a personal guy sitting in his corner or her corner, when they start the amida, as long as they start with the tzibur, they can take their time because they're what's called mitchilu beheter. If you come late, all these halachos, but if you're there on time, Gal Yisrael, you started, take your time, you'll miss chazarat hashatz, it's fine. Yitchalta beheter. Yitchalta beheter, there's no problem. However, if you're a chazan, I don't have to suffer. Because you wanna take your time with God. You wanna take your time? Take your time at home. You wanna take your time? Take your time by not being chazan. But there's no excuse whatsoever for a chazan to take my time. You know what that's called in halacha? Tircha d'tzibur, that's the minor issue. The major issue is gezel zman. You can call him a robber. What is he stealing? Not money. Time. There is halacha of gezel mamon, there's halacha of gezel zman. He's stealing my time. But number two, and this is even more important, you said tircha d'tzibura. You know how chamor tircha d'tzibura is? Where does tircha d'tzibura come from? What's the makor? So I heard once, tircha d'tzibura is like this. I'm in a small community, there's 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore we don't have a minyan on the second day Yom Tov because of tircha d'tzibura. That is an absolute fictitious statement. It is absolutely an Amma Aretz saying it, and I'll explain why. Tircha d'tzibura means if you're already in shul, and there's already a minyan, don't matriach. What is the makor of that? Not if you're at home, don't come to shul. Once you're in shul, don't matriach. What's the makor in the Gemara? Tircha d'tzibura. What's the holiest day of the year? Yom Kippur. Hayom HaKadosh. The Kohen Gadol is a very important guy in Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty good, right? A lot of time is devoted to him in our Musaf, right? But once upon a time, he was the real McCoy. He was the main man. He was the person that did all the Avoda. In the middle of the holiest day, in the holiest place, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Kohen, too much holiness here, takes out the Sefer Torah as part of the Avoda and reads Parshas Acharemos. Why does he read Parshas Acharemos? The silence here scares me. Is this silence because I said Yom Kippur? Everyone's with their own silence.
What?
Gentlemen, Acharemos talks about the Avodas Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So he's going to read it and say, you see, I fulfilled. Then the Gemara says something interesting. I think it's a Mishnah.
He
has to lay in what we call the Maftir. Where's the Maftir? Acharemos is in Vayikra. Maftir is in Parshat Pinchas. So if you would have asked me, what does the Kohen Gadol do? I'd say, well, like we do, we take out 2 Sifrei Torah, we give one guy Pticha, one guy to hold it, we give a lot of Kibudim out, Hag Baglila, Mishaberach, that's the way we do it. So he was a Gabbai, he knows how many Mishaberachs you can get out of that. A lot of people give a lot of money to Shul because of it. Well, what did they do in the Beis HaMikdash?
He said it by heart.
One Sefer Torah, rolled it up and said, okay, Acharemos, I finished. Yoter mimasha amarti katuf kan. More than what I said is written in the Sefer Torah. Now I'm going to tell you one of the things that's written a little later. Mara says, why didn't he just roll it? You know the rolling, right? The Jews who have arthritis start rolling. And my arm is killing me. It all comes from shul. Now, they're rolling. Why didn't he roll it? Tircha d'tzibura, why waste? If you had told me, Tircha d'tzibura and Yom Kippur, what do they have better to do? They can't do anything. They can't do malacha. They can't eat. They can't drink. What are they going to do? Take a shower? They're not going to take a shower either. So what Tircha d'tzibura? No, Tircha d'tzibura. So kal v'chomer, benosha makol shekein, if a person's in shul on a regular day of the week, and he's the chazin, for him to take his time, it's not only gezel zman, it's Tircha d'tzibura. So if you need to take your time, you have a lot of people to daven for, fine. I should know about it. It's your personal rendezvous with God. But if we all know about it, I can promise you one thing. No one in that shul is going to say, "Ay, such a holy individual, he took his time. Oh, such awe. I am so influenced by this chazan." What are they going to say about this chazan? This is what's going to be said eventually. Dear God, don't listen to this guy's tefillah. He is an absolutely an ignoramus, he doesn't know that he's wasting our time, stay away from him. You want that to happen? If you have to take your time, don't be chazan. Next, let's go on.
What about the rabbi?
What about the rabbi?
The rabbi who's davening Shmona Esrei long after everyone is finished.
The Ramah Paskins b'mefurash, that you should wait for the Av Beis Din, namely what we call the rabbi, as long as it's not Tircha D'Tzibura. But if he takes too long, don't wait for him. So Sock of the Ramah.
How do you define Tircha D'Tzibura?
No, Tircha D'Tzibura is defined subjectively by that Tzibur. So if that Tzibur davens, say, Midah for 5 minutes, and the Chazan's taking 7 minutes, no good. But if he's taking 5.5 minutes, or the rabbi, not so bad. Use a little seichel, it should be fine. In general, you should use seichel and shul. You shouldn't leave your brain outside. But that's a whole different... If I have to say that, then we're really in a bad state of mind. Yes, absolutely. Now, let's go on. Gentlemen, the minhag that we have today, we spoke about it, maybe it's not such a good minhag, is that every avil, every mourner says Kaddish. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The
I'm not going to go, we talked about it already. It's like, I'm not going to go into it. The Germans, the whole story, we have a whole shiur, you can listen online. But Yitzchak, this I want you to hear. If that is the minhag, then the worst thing you can do is to talk in front of that person. Because Kaddish is a very emotional prayer. Namely, it's for someone that departed. The person who's saying Kaddish is either in a Yortzeit or in the year of mourning. And at that moment, to talk is like saying, I don't care. So over Chol HaMoed, the following thing happened. I was saying Kaddish, as I am this year, together with someone next to me, and in front of us two people were talking. Now, it was beginning to actually not disturb me, but mix me up. So I said it louder, and I thought he'd get the hint. What do you think the two people did when I said it louder? They went louder! By the end of davening, they heard them, they didn't hear me. No one said Amen to Oseh Shalom. Gentlemen, if someone's saying Kaddish, first of all, have rigishut. Have sensitivity. It's a very emotional moment. Be quiet for those 2 minutes. Number two, the Kaddish Zugger should say it pretty quickly so that he doesn't waste the time of the people. This is what should be happening. And number three, don't talk. You want to talk during the rabbi's sermon, the rabbi will deal with it. You want to talk at people that are in an emotionally very hard state, I really don't suggest it. Okay, I'm not talking about the fact that over Zman Simchateinu, the time of our happiness, a mourner has a very difficult time if he's an Ashkenazi. Because the Ramah Paskins, that the minhag is, that the Avil doesn't go around the Bima for Hoshanos. So for his whole life he's going around Hoshanos. He has children going around Hoshanos. It's a big thing. He talks about it. He loves it. He can't. He just sits there like this with his little Menesrog. More than that, he doesn't do Akafos. He has no Simchas Pesach Shoev. It's a very difficult time. In the middle of that, to start talking in front of his Kaddish is another way of saying, we don't care. Who cares? We don't care. But I would suggest when someone's saying Kaddish, don't talk. And number two is, the guy who's saying Kaddish, don't do it slowly. Because if you do it too slow, the people will not say the Neshama should have an Aliyah. They probably say, God forbid, maybe you have an Aliyah. And I don't want that to happen. So therefore, gentlemen, should be a mutual thing.
Did you speak to those people?
I didn't speak to them. However, I am planning to. I wanted to wait about 2 weeks, and then I'll say if it still bothers me, I'll speak to them. Absolutely, but I don't know if they get the hint. Next, gentlemen, there's another thing I saw over Chol HaMoed and Sukkot, and this is something that I don't know. What's Ayin Hara? When you say B'li Ayin Hara, B'li Ayin Hara, Ayin Hara, Ayin Hara, we have it in the beginning of Baba Basra. The Mishnah says you can build a fence in the middle of 2 yards, and the other person has to pay for half of it because of Ayin Hara. What's Ayin Hara? So we're not getting into all the mysticism. You know what Ayin Hara is? Ayin Hara is when you say to someone, look at me. So if someone in this class would walk in the morning with an undershirt, not with a shirt, we'd all look at them. And he'll get an Ayin Hara. What's an Ayin Hara?
Look.
The height of haughtiness. Gaiva. Oh, look at me, I'm different. I wear purple hair. Everyone's wearing shirts, I'm going to wear my undershirt. Everyone's wearing pants, I'm going to wear my gatkes. That's Ayin Hara. So during davening, where does Ayin Hara come out? Where do people really give you that Ayin Hara? So I said, in the Mishnah is, I'm in my courtyard, and people are going to look in and say, oh, he's doing that. Oh, he has a nice lounge chair. Oh, very nice. We don't want that to happen. So therefore, we build a fence. Where's Ayin Hara in Shul? So we're all davening in a minyan. We're all together, right? We're all davening. There's no Ayin Hara. We're all doing the same thing. You're davening, you have to fill an ayat. Where's Ayin Hara? When someone does something, let's define it, different than everyone else. Now, what's different than everyone else?
The strimal.
I'm not so sure. People are used to strimals.
So it bounces loudly during the Aniyah.
and start saying stuff out loud.
During the Amida saying things out loud, yes, but I have a better one for you. Let's say the Amida remains silent. When in the middle of davening, you start screaming. So everyone says Amen, and you say Amen! Everyone is saying something, I don't know, they're in the middle of Kriyat Shema, and you're in a different part of davening, and you say, V'talmud Torah k'neged kulam! Everyone says, oh, first of all, he came late, he's back there. Second of all, we all looked at him, and if we all look at him, it's the height of haughtiness. You have to be humble before God, you have to be more humble before God in a minyan, and quite frankly, I don't understand why people do this. They scream at the top of their lungs. Everyone looks at them. So maybe they don't have enough attention at home. They need a little tsumi and shua, as we call it. Need a little attention? Could be. If you need attention, do attention. Don't make me nuts. Now, I didn't mind this. I thought, okay, this guy has ayin hara b'seder. But when it happens in my ear, then I do mind. So I told the gentleman, if you want to scream before God, it's fine by me. Just not in my ear. I'll tell you where I got that from. I was once walking on the sidewalk here in our city of Efrat. And someone was in the car, I kid you not. She was a lady nursing her baby with one hand. Driving with the other, I wish, on her cell phone like this on the other. And she comes on the sidewalk and almost runs me over. At the very last minute, she stopped. I was literally between life and death. I went up to the lady and I said, if it's my time to go and God takes me, it's my time to go. I just don't want to be killed by an idiot. Because you're a moron. I said, you're in the car nursing a baby on your phone and without putting your hand on the wheel. And she answered was, I am sorry.
Dude, so, you into the baby.
The guy wants to scream in davening, let him scream all he wants at home. Shouldn't be doing it in public. But if he does it in public, not in someone's ear. Now, here comes the answer of this gentleman. I'm davening. It's your problem you don't daven. I don't daven? That's pretty good. No, that's a good one. I don't daven. That's pretty good. I look at the guy next to me. Are you davening? Yeah, no, you're not davening. If you don't scream, you're not davening. That's it. With new definition of davening. Davening means screaming. If you say it low, no good. Everyone knows the joke, right? Put your hands. I can tell you this joke. You don't let me go here without a joke. This is a very known joke. The Karlin, Stul, and Hasidim have a minimum. They do scream in davening. But there it's not haughtiness because everyone screams. Everyone's doing it. If you're quiet, you're the one that gets ayin hara. But if everyone screams, it's okay. So they're all screaming and yelling and davening. And some non-Jew comes in and says, why are you screaming and yell? In our church on a Sunday, there's decorum. There's quiet. And everyone's good. So the Karlin, Stul, and Hasidim, as you know, come from a Lithuanian town. As you know, the Litvak, to be a Litvak, a true Litvak, you have to be a cynic. Without cynicism, you're not a true Litvak. So they were Hasidim, albeit in a Litvish town, so they had the cynicism. And this is the answer of the Kalin Stul and Chassid to the good, devout Christian. He said, you see, our God is very old. He's hard of hearing. Your God is very new. Therefore, he can hear better. You ever heard that?
No.
Oh, that's a no. Come on. Yes, let's go in order. Wait.
No, I was just saying, maybe that was a Kalin Stul.
He wasn't, trust me. I know the Karlin, I love the Karlin Stul and Hasidim. You know the Rebbe from Karlin Stul and doesn't outlaw smartphones. He just tells people certain limitations, which I believe are very logical. You can agree or disagree, but I think it's a wonderful take. It's not like the whole world is no good. He says the world is great. We have to have limitations. I think it's a beautiful thing. So I know the Karlin Stul and Hasidim a bit. I know the way they dress. He was no Karlin Stul and Hasid. He was just a guy with a big mouth. Yeah.
What about a chassid who yells and screams with his minion, but then for some reason he's in your shul where people don't do that, but he yells and screams just like he would in his own shul.
The halacha is very clear. The halacha is clear. If I'm nusach Ashkenaz and I come to a shul that's nusach Sfard, what nusach do I daven for the Yomut?
Sfard. But by himself he does.
By himself, let him do what he wants. When he's in a shul, there's a minhag. He has to keep the minhag. Let's say you have a minhag, like the Ramah says, even though it's not an obligation, the Ramah brings the minhag from the Maharam here, Rutenberg. Good idea to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. And you come to a shul, Sephardic shul in this matter, everyone's sitting. You can't stand. The Gemara says, with regard to a Baal Keri, that even though he can't daven at that time, lo yeh omed ben ayoshvim, lo yeh yoshev ben amdim. Okay, so you have to do what people do. You have to blend it. No, not Baal Tefillah. You're a regular guy, Baal Keri. You're not a Baal Tefillah. You're sitting in the pews. If everyone's standing, because they're davening in Amida, and you can't daven, you're a Baal Keri, you can't sit. Yeah. You have to stand with them. You don't say the words. By the way, if you don't keep a second day Yom Tov when you go and visit Chutz La'aretz, but you go to shul, you want to daven in a minyan, you cannot go ahead and say, well, I don't have to daven Musaf, so I'm going to sit down during Musaf and talk to my friend. And when they say, shh, no, I don't have to be shush, I'm not keeping the second day Yom Tov, I'm from Israel. It's only you guys from Chutz La'aretz that are punished with the second day Yom Tov baloney. But hey, I'm from Israel, I'm a holy guy. The guy might be holy, but he's an ignoramus. Why is he ignoramus? Because there's a very clear halacha that if everyone's doing one thing and you're doing the other, don't stick out. And therefore, with regard to second day Yom Tov, or any other minhag for that matter, big perek in Masechet Pesachim, Makom Shenahagu, about minhagim, and it says very explicitly, Va'al Yishaneh Mipnei HaMachloket. Don't do things different than make people talk about you. So, quite frankly, gentlemen, I'm glad I got off my chest. I have one more thing to get off my chest, but Rabbi Zef already came in. I can't do justice if I say it in 1 minute. I'll just say next week, remind me, the slowest chazan in the history of chazanim that had ruined a shachris on Sukkos in ways that I still don't get over it. Oh, no, Karblach, no. Gentlemen, this was the epitome of ruining a beautiful davening. This was, I've never seen that. I thought I had the story when on Yom HaAtzmaut, the guy sang, Hodu Lashem Kitov in a slow tune. But no, this was even better. This was Sukkos Man Simchateinu, believe me, either this guy was depressed, or he had no brains. Gentlemen, you know what, Rabbi Zef, can I take 2 minutes?
You got it.
Gentlemen.
I want to hear it.
Davening. We said right before Rosh Hashanah, we quoted the Ramah, you shouldn't change the Gunim of that town because people are going to get mixed up. And I explained, it doesn't mean not to change it from the 70s to the songs of the 90s. If people are used to singing tunes and that's what they get exalted from, those are the tunes you should sing. Number two, I said, I added, that if the words are happy, don't sing a sad tune. If the words are sad, don't sing a happy tune. I don't know where this guy comes from. He was a guest. Gabayim should not give guests to daven on a Yom Tov. On a Shabbos, it's fine, because if he davens a slow shachris, he'll make it up by Musaf. But on a Yom Tov, which is a long davening, very bad idea to give it to a guest that you don't know. So, the mistake was made. It's an honest mistake. He's never going to be asked again to daven, trust me. Because I usually leave davening and complain. This time everyone was complaining, so I didn't say nothing. Anyway, this gentleman gets up. From the beginning of, as we do on Yontif, HaKel B'Tatzimoto Zecha, he did everything with slow tunes. He didn't even say the Nusach. He started with Shochinah, he started to sing a very slow tune. He gets the Hallel. It's like in the Ashkenazic communities, there's two things that don't change around the world. One is the Nigun for benching. You ever hear the Nigun of benching? Unless you're in a Sephardic town, everyone sings benching from Australia to Norvegia in the same exact way. My apologies, I meant Norway. I was thinking in Hebrew. How do they sing benching? Baruch atah Hashem. Everyone, the whole world. There's another thing the whole world does in Hallel. What is the one tune that's sang around the world in Hallel that really doesn't change? No, think of Hallel. That changes. Yevarech et Beit Yisrael, Yevarech et Beit Yisrael. Okay, everyone knows it, everyone sings it. This guy takes Yevarech et Beit Yisrael, sang it in a tune, I kid you not. I have used that tune as a chazan on Rosh Hashanah for the sad parts of Unetan et Tokif. Mi yichye mi yamut. He was singing it to Yevarech et Beit Yisrael. So this is the two things that happened. First of all, the whole davening that was happy became sad. Number two, slow. What's slow? Slow, my gentleman, this was not slow. Davening started at 8:30, at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock! He didn't finish Achris yet. Now I'm going to add the Chet al Pesha. Okay, as if the guy didn't do enough damage. What are we holding in our hands on the first day of Sukkos? Lulav and Etrog. How easy is it to hold a lulav and an etrog and a machzer? Well, you all know this is a halachic, I would say, acrobatic act. The Rav once said when he talked about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur taking the Meloch of Nav and having to bring it in, he said, it's like the Chazan on Hoshana Rabbah. What did he mean? The Chazan on Hoshana Rabbah has to have four things. He has to have a kittel on, that makes him sweat. He has to have a lulav in his right hand. He has to have the etrog in his left hand. He has to have a machzer. Now, how does he have? He only has two hands. Right? Same thing on Sukkos. The halacha is, and this is very interesting, it's actually a halacha, that we're supposed to hold the esrog on the left hand and the lulav on the right hand, unless you're a lefty. But if you're a righty, that's the way you do it. So how do you hold a machzer? So throughout the generations, there have been various different ideas of how to do it. Some hold it like this. If you're holding a lulav and etrog, you have a little room here, you can put it in front of your hands. Some have this contraption, I saw it once, goes from here to here. Some, everyone has an eitz of how to do it, and some say, it's not a big deal, we'll just hold it in one hand and the machzor in the other. So shanos are a problem. Hal is also a problem. Now I have to admit, when you're holding this in your hand, by a certain time it begins to hurt. No one thought of putting it down. It's only the first day of Sukkot. By second day, they're not excited by the lulav and etrog. This is the first day. This guy's taking his lolly time. And then, after the challah was ruined, davening was slow, right? He finished Hoshanos, Shir Shoyom, he gets the Otzah Sefer Torah. Now, if a chazan really ruined davening, and he messed up, and he hears the people already saying, who is this guy? You would think, in his right mind, that's it. Finish up. What does he do? Brich Shmei, he says. Then he gets the Be'an Arachitz, and he sings it slow, slow. You should all remember. One thing I can promise, no one forgot this chazan. They're going to look at his face, they're going to remember that davening. Wow! But I have never seen a davening ruined more and more. You know, you can ruin davening at the beginning, but when you start ruining davening as you go along, that I don't understand. Let's say you broke something at home. You broke a chair. Oh yeah, I broke a chair. I'm so sorry. We have to throw out the chair. Buy a new chair. Imagine if someone broke a chair and says, you know, I've already broke it. I'm going to break another leg. I never liked this leg. I'm going to break a third leg. Now I'm going to break some other things in the house because I'm already in the breaking mood, you know. I'm breaking things. That's what I like to do today. I usually build. Today I break. It's like a guy broke davening and then he broke it more and more and more. It was so bad that after davening, when everyone was complaining about this guy because the chazan, the Baal Korah, read very fast and Musab went very fast to make up time, I was given the Haftorah 3.5 minutes from beginning to end, in and out. It was a beautiful Haftorah, first day of Sukkot. I couldn't read it in the way that I really wanted to because of this chazan. Everyone had to be ruined. As we were leaving shul, one guy came out of shul and said, you know, I always looked forward to Hallel. I'm finished. Hallel, so sad. I'm finished. So Gezel's man, stupid, dumb. Everything in the world. I just don't understand. I wish I knew this chazan. He was a guest. What was he thinking? That I don't know. And on that happy note, I'd like to thank you all for listening. I let a lot off my chest. I feel now that I'm a puppet dog, I can now listen to the whole world and deal with it. Thank you all for listening. We will meet, God willing, next week. Be'ezrat Hashem, same place, same time, Bruce. Okay.